Children, the coercing of children, educating of children, custody of children, things of this sort. And we'll also talk about such things as jealousy, competition, various other marketplace concepts and how they apply to the concept of love and so forth. But at least for tonight, I think you might be able to see now why my attitude is that you don't have to live for eternal well-being in the hereafter. You don't have to believe that at least this veil of tears will be compensated for by a great life to come in the hereafter. You don't even have to live for a free society here on earth. You don't have to take the attitude that life is terrible now, but at least it would be wonderful if we ever had a society in which my concept of freedom prevailed. There is happiness that can be achieved within the framework of reality that exists as it is now, and it is totally within your control to get it. You don't have to rely on all kinds of things coming from other people outside of yourself who will create the right framework in which you'll be freer to pursue happiness and so forth. It is possible to you. There is a great deal to come in this world to you if you're willing to go out and get it. If you're willing to make of yourself the kind of person that can enjoy it. But it starts with facing reality as it is and not pretending it's something other than it is. It starts with recognizing what you do know for sure and what you don't know for sure, and not trying to tell yourself that something is absolutely, firmly, and completely true when you don't really know that it is. Only then are you in any kind of a position to go out and get what is really possible to you in this world. And now, too, I think you can see then why I think that it is so important to face up to reality, the negative aspects as well as the positive. Because without it, you could never experience this ultimate moment. You could never possibly enjoy the well-being that is possible. Once again, let me point out what I said before, too, that this cannot be proven by the scientific method from the standpoint that I can give you any laboratory tests or anything else of the sort. You will have to take what you know of life, what your experience has told you, and combine that with your logic of what the systems of life are, and combine them to come up with a decision as to whether or not you feel this is consistent. I don't believe that there's any contradiction between this and any short-term happiness I might pursue. So I don't feel myself in the position of saying that you ought to hold out for this regardless of what comes. I don't think that that's necessary. But you may find that, and I may find that there is that kind of a conflict, in which case one does have to determine whether or not this is worth working for. So at any given point, remember, at any given time when you're about to act, no matter what group you find yourself in, no matter what situation you find yourself in, and no matter what the pressure is on you to be a certain kind of person, in any decision you make, remember that that person, that one individual who is capable of giving you so much more happiness than the rest of the world combined is capable of giving you, that person may be watching you. Are you being worthy of that person? Are you being the person that she would choose and say, yes, I want you above all the people in this world? Whether you know that person already or you are anticipating meeting that person, the standard still applies because she can walk away at any time. Thank you for the extra 25 minutes. Now, are there any questions? Anybody want to hold out for another 10 minutes for questions? Yes.
I have two questions. First of all, do you feel it's possible to romantically cherish a person?
Romance, according to these definitions, romance would be cherishing an individual and then finding the physical sensitivity that comes from this sharing of principles and values. So that if the thing that makes it romance is the physical sensitivity, cherishing might be the appreciation of the same values and principles so that you derive a great deal from the relationship. But then if the physical sensitivity comes into it, it is romance. So romance is merely a derivative of the cherishing. Am I making myself clear?
You mean that you expect love to follow cherish?
Well, it would precede like, cherish, romance, and then romantic love. A liking would be just to find that a certain individual is a source of happiness to you for whatever reason. Cherishing would mean that this individual is an above-average source of happiness, that you derive a great deal of happiness, much more than you do even from those you like. And this would probably be because of the sharing of principles and values that you might have. You respect that individual very much for the education they give you, perhaps, or for just the consumption happiness that they give you. So you cherish them. You find that they're precious to you in your life, very important. But then if on top of this you also derive the physical sensitivity, meaning that you find yourself reacting physically when that person touches